Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. U.S. President Donald Trump looking ahead to the next challenge following the rejection of the Republicans' health care legislation.
But we've had I'm not going to speak badly about anybody within the party, but certainly there's a big history. I think Paul really worked hard. And I would say that we will probably start going very, very strongly for the big tax cuts and tax reform. That'll be next.
Mr. Trump is turning attention from health care after asking Republican leaders to withdraw the health care bill for consideration because it lacked the necessary votes to pass. Some Americans expressed frustration that Democrats and Republicans did not work together in helping resolve the country's health care issues.
Where I'm most frustrated with our government, because I don't think they're doing that thing. It seems to be an either or and two sides, when it should be more of hearing both sides and coming to some sort of compromise.
I know it will come back. I feel a little bit more relaxed today after they did not come to a vote, so the status quo will be in effect for a while.
U.S. officials say Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will meet with members of the NATO alliance next week following criticism over his initial decision to skip a NATO foreign minister's meeting. State Department officials say Tillerson will meet NATO members on March 31st in Brussels. Foreign ministers from NATO countries were originally scheduled to gather in Brussels on April 5th and 6th. It is not clear if the new meeting will replace the April dates. Earlier this week, Tillerson's office said he would not be able to attend the April meeting of the 28-member alliance. This is VOA News. The American-led coalition fighting Islamic State militants in Iraq is conducting an investigation into coalition airstrikes that some reports say recently killed more than 100 civilians in a Mosul neighborhood. A coalition statement said it has opened a formal civilian casualty credibility assessment on that allegation. The statement also said coalition planes routinely strike IS targets in the neighborhood, and coalition forces take all responsible precautions during the planning and execution of airstrikes to reduce the risk of harm to civilians. While Colonel John Thomas, a spokesman for the U.S. Central Command, told the New York Times the military was not sure if an explosion in western Mosul was caused by an American or other coalition airstrike or an IS bomb or booby trap, an Iraqi officer told the newspaper he knew exactly what happened. The U.S. State Department has asked American embassies and consulates around the world to identify certain groups that should get extra scrutiny when they apply for visas. A series of directives also instructs U.S. diplomatic posts overseas to review the social media accounts of visa applicants who are suspected of terrorist ties or of having been in Islamic State group-controlled areas. Even if the applicant otherwise qualifies for a visa, those identified as meeting the criteria would require additional scrutiny, leading to a possible visa denial. A Syrian monitoring group says at least 16 people have died from airstrikes on a prison in northwestern Syria. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said Saturday prisoners and staff were killed fleeing airstrikes in the rebel-held city of Idlib, and some were shot by prison staff. Idlib is an opposition stronghold where Russian warplanes have been known to carry out strikes in support of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Key U.S. lawmakers are at odds over halting progress in their investigation into whether Russia interfered in the 2016 presidential election. The latest skirmish sparked by the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee's abrupt cancellation of an open hearing set to feature top former intelligence officials. Word of the change ignited a round of criticism from congressional Democrats, who pointed out that FBI Director James Comey and NSA Director Admiral Mike Rogers had already testified. During the hearing, Comey confirmed for the first time officials are investigating possible connections between the president and the campaign in Russia. United Nations Security Council members are calling on South Sudan's leaders to prioritize the needs of the South. Sudanese people don't disagree over the main causes of the famine in parts of the country. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington.
Zambia, like other countries, chose to be non-committal, to allow for national processes to inform the decision.
The Zambian government asked citizens to determine its membership with the International Criminal Court, ICC.
What we are doing right now is trying to make sure that any deceased voters are out of our list. Any voters that might have registered more than once are also out of the list.
The Kenyan Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission steps up efforts to organize the August 8 general election.
The synchronization of these immunization campaigns is needed to rapidly strengthen protection. If all children are vaccinated at the same time or around the same time in a very short period of time, the virus cannot find anywhere to hide.
And tens of thousands of health workers spread across Central and Western African countries to vaccinate children against polio. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The Zambian government has launched a nationwide consultation regarding whether to pull out as a state party to the Rome Statute. The Rome Statute established the International Criminal Court, or ICC, based in The Hague. Leaders at the African Heads of State General Summit recommended in a non-binding measure that members consider their support to the ICC. Critics, however, say the ICC mainly targets Africans. For more on the Zambian decision-making process, I reach Justice Minister Givin Lubinda.
Zambia, like other countries, chose to be non-committal, to allow for national processes to inform the decision. In keeping with that position, the government of Zambia has decided to consult widely across the country on whether or not to continue holding membership to the Rome Statute or to leave.
Why now, particularly when Zambia faces a host of other domestic socio-economic issues? Why now?
There cannot be any better time than now. There is no country that does not have social issues, and these can never be exhausted. There will always be issues affecting a nation. And the decision on whether to be a member of an international instrument cannot be suspended until there are no domestic social issues, because that will never come. There will be no time when there are no social domestic issues. And when you ask why now, it is because this is the time when the debate has emerged. We could not have been asking ourselves the question when there was no debate. It was at the 28th summit where the matter was raised. And Africa agreed that as the heads of state meet at the 29th summit in June, July of this year, Africa must pronounce itself on this matter. And Zambia would like to go and pronounce itself best on a position that would have been fed into by the citizenry.
Minister Lubinda, critics, including the UPND supporters, are saying that Zambia, with a myriad of problems they face, including the escalating cost of mealie-meal, among other socioeconomic issues, this is a tactic by the government, their words, not mine, to divert people's attention to what they claim to be an ineptitudeness of the government to resolve some of these challenges.
If you have been following what they have been saying, you should have also asked them as to why, even before government pronounced that it was going to conduct countrywide consultations, they themselves were contradicting themselves. There are some amongst the members of the party you mentioned who claimed that President Edgar Chagwa Lungu was of the view that Zambia should remain in the ICC because there are some cases that have been referred to the ICC by citizens against that political party, and that he wanted that political party to be indicted by the ICC. There are also others who are claiming that President Edgar Lungu's intention is to leave the ICC because he wants to rule Zambia as a dictator. They themselves are conflicted on the matter. And this is the reason why we have chosen that instead of the government making the decision on its own, we should consult the people. You may also wish to know that the Constitution of Zambia provides that before any international agreement is entered into by the government of Zambia, the people of Zambia shall be consulted through parliament. In this particular case, we have chosen that before the matter can even be brought as a question to parliament, we must go out to the citizenry and ask.
The question is, what is the time frame for this wide consultations? And after the consultations, what happens next in this drive?
The consultation is to take place in a very short space of time. I launched the process yesterday. The work starts in earnest on Monday, the 27th of March. And by the end of April, mid of May, the process will have been brought to a close through a national discussion, which will be held in the national headquarters, where people will come and validate the findings of the team that is going out to collect people's views. That is what will inform cabinet, so that as the head of state goes to the 29th AU summit, he will go with a position that will have been arrived at out of consensus.
Given Lubinda is the Zambian Justice Minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. The Kenyan Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, or IEBC, is implementing measures as part of the electoral body's efforts to administer the August 8 general election. In so doing, the IEBC has appointed Safran Identity, a France-based firm, which it says pledged to deliver the Kenyan Integrated Management System for transmission of election results during the polls. The same company supplied kits as the IEBC compiled a voter list to be used for the upcoming elections. For the latest regarding the voter list, among other election-related developments, I reached IEBC Commissioner Rosalind Kwambunka Akombe in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
We are working on cleaning up the register right now. We have been able to get all the data from all the 290 constituencies. What we are doing right now is trying to make sure that any deceased voters are out of our list. Any voters that might have registered more than once are also out of the list. And we hope that this process will be done by May, so that on the 10th of May, we will be able to have the register out to all the polling stations for what we call the biometric verification. So by May 10th, there should be at least a tentative register that will be used for purposes of biometric verification of the voters. That will be a one-month period, the process of verification, and we'll have a clean register out at least by the 11th or the 12th of June. Those are the dates we're looking at.
What is the significance of the Integrated Elections Management System that the IEBC plan to deploy in administering this year's election?
The technology is absolutely important because the law requires it to be in place. But also it's to deal with the issues that the country has faced, whether it's 2007 elections or 2013 elections, in terms of being able to verify that the people who actually vote are the real voters. And so by having the technology in place, we will be able to have voters identified biometrically before they vote, which means that concerns about deceased persons participating in the elections will be addressed, because you will have to place your fingers, be verified biometrically, before you are able to be given a ballot to cast your ballot. And then the second element of it is the electronic transmission of results. As you may recall, in 2013, we had a problem with the transmission of results, electronic transmission of results. And so we want to make sure that that process of ensuring that the results are transmitted on time and that the results that are transmitted are what reflect the will of the people, reflect what the voters actually cast in the various polling stations. So those are the two very important elements in the technology that we'll be deploying for the 2017 election.
Well, I understand some bidders had problems and they went to court seeking injunctions and back and forth legal tussle about this management and the bidding thereof. Do you have the time by which you can successfully procure this mechanism and machine that will be deployed in this elections in time for elections this year?
Paul, I mean, that has been the concern of many Kenyans about the litigation process. I mean, the fact that you're having various vendors going out to court, it's a reflection of the confidence that people have in our judiciary system, in our justice system. And that is provided for in our constitution, and we encourage people to use those mechanisms. We believe we have now, with the decision that the commission has announced, that we have enough timelines, period, to be able to deliver and get the technology in place. What we have done is that we're going to be abiding by Section 103 of our procurement laws that allow us to do direct procurement. And by direct procurement, we believe that the company that we've already identified, Safran, that has provided the technology to Kenya in the past, that has provided the technology to the IBC, that is currently providing the BVR kit, the biometric voter registration kit, and also supporting our voter register, we believe that because of those reasons and because we've worked with this company before, that they will be able to deliver those kits on time, the technology on time, so that we can be able to use it for purposes of the election.
How has been the cooperation of political parties who participate in this year's election in terms of fielding qualified candidates who have credible certificates for people to vote for them?
That's a very interesting question. We are now, the next stage that we'll be moving to is the process of looking at the nomination of candidates. We are yet to look at, we have not yet, the timelines for submission of those candidates has not yet reached. We are going to be receiving those in the coming month, in the coming few weeks, and we'll look at what it is that they'll be providing for us. But what we've done in the meantime to prepare for that is we are working very closely. We had a very fruitful meeting today with the minister, with the cabinet secretary in charge of the Ministry of Education, to establish a system of ensuring that whatever certificates we receive from candidates are evaluated by them, are verified by them, before we can be able to certify the various aspirants for the positions that they'll be looking at. So we are cooperating very closely with the Ministry of Education to be able to certify those certificates once we receive them.
Roslyn Kwamboka Akombe is a commissioner of the Kenyan Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, or IEBC. She spoke with me from Nairobi. The Sierra Leonean government is demanding an investigation into the killing of a protester following demonstrations by Injala University students. Several students were also injured after police fired on protesters in Bo, the second largest city in the country. The police say the university students failed to obtain permission before the protest, which led to the burning of tires and the blocking of major roads. The students were protesting against lecturers' strike since October last year due to unpaid salaries by the government. To learn more about the government inquiry, I reached presidential spokesman Abdullahi Berete.
For us as a government, though, any one loss of life is just too many, particularly at a time when the country is just emerging from a very devastating Ebola scourge. The only thing, though, over the years we come to realize and rely on the professionalism of the Sierra Leone police, because we have seen situations whereby when one of them were found wanting, they had prosecuted and others even charged for murder. So for us, the president, Dr. Annex Lekoruma, even established the Sierra Leone Police Complaints Board, which is an independent body that is usually charged to investigate issues of this nature. And this is where we think that investigation in collaboration with the Sierra Leone Police, which has also indicated an interest to investigate, so that at least our human rights record as a government cannot be blemished by any incidents of this nature.
Abdullahi, opponents of the government have expressed concern that it appears President Ernest Bai Koroma and his government are unconcerned about the plight of the Injala University student because they say the government has yet to come out to say anything or to address the problem. The Injala University, as you know, is pretty close to where the president resides.
The university itself is being subvented by government. The strike action shouldn't have even been directed at government in the first place. The reason being, whilst we have other tertiary institutions, the payment of salaries and other allowances to staff, including lecturers, is being done by the universities themselves. So when they came to us, they requested for a bailout of 20 billion leones. They did that in 2012. We bailed them out with about 8 billion leones. They said things were going bad for them. They needed a request and support from government. Well, this time around, they came with a 20 billion request. The government is also implementing austerity measures at a time when we were experiencing an economic crunch as a direct result of the Ebola. The revenues went down. The prices of export commodities plummeted. So we said, you know what? Give us an indication how you spend the first bailout we gave you. So this is where we said they should have gone to the students to tell them exactly what the situation is, rather than shifting the blame to the government, which has nothing to do with it, absolutely.
But Abdullahi, where does the buck stop? Isn't the government supposed to ensure these students are educated? So if those in the helm of affairs have shirked their responsibility, as you just enumerated, why hasn't the government taken an effective measure to address this concern?
Negotiations, since yesterday, we are going on between the administration and the Academic Staff Association, which has asked for about 400% increase. For us as a government, we are equally concerned because we are paying fee subsidies for the students worth over 80% of their total annual fee. So this is where we are equally concerned because at the end of the day, the president is diversifying the economy and Injala University College is an agricultural, very much professional institution. So this is where we think they are very pivotal for the transformation of the economy. But at the same time, though, nobody should ever think of blackmailing the government to getting money from us when, in fact, they should be able to manage their own resources.
When should Sierra Leoneans, or in this instance, students at Injala University, expect the government to intervene? Because failure to do so, who knows what the consequences might be?
Well, the students, of course, they behaved. I'll speak to you as a former student leader myself. We used to engage governments to get what we wanted without being rioters. And as I'm speaking to you now, for them that were arrested, we are being processed and charged to court. They were given a bail because they all pleaded guilty to rioters' conduct because they blocked the entrance to the state lodge of the president. And even when the president conceded for them to come and have a meeting at State House, during the search of one of them, we discovered a liter of petrol and a box of match with one of the female students, a second-year student. So these were not the way we wanted our students to be.
Abdullahi Berete is the spokesman for the Sierra Leonean President, Ernest Bai Koroma. He spoke with me from the capital, Freetown. Tens of thousands of health workers were fanned out across 13 Central and Western African countries to vaccinate more than 116 million children under age 5 against polio. The World Health Organization and UN Children's Fund are spearheading the immunization campaign to rid the continent of the last vestiges of the crippling disease. For VOA, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN agencies report more than 190,000 volunteers traveling on foot or bicycle will go house to house across all cities, towns, and villages in 13 countries to vaccinate every child under age 5 against polio. The synchronized vaccination campaign, one of the largest ever conducted in Africa, will run from March 25th to 28th. Director of Polio Eradication at the World Health Organization, Michel Zafran, says children must be immunized in a short span of time to raise childhood immunity to polio across the continent.
The synchronization of these immunization campaigns is needed to rapidly strengthen protection. If all children are vaccinated at the same time, or around the same time, in a very short period of time, the virus cannot find anywhere to hide.
In August 2016, four children were paralyzed by polio in Borno State in northeast Nigeria, which has been under attack by Boko Haram militants for several years. It was the first time in more than 2 years that polio was detected in Africa. Governments in the Lake Chad Basin declared a public health emergency, and a vaccination campaign was conducted. Zafran says there has been no case of polio since the last one was detected on August 21st. Nevertheless, he tells VOA there is concern that the polio virus still may be circulating in this area because of the humanitarian crisis exacerbated by political instability and conflict. He says health workers are operating under very dangerous and difficult circumstances.
We cannot be sure that some of our vaccinators or health workers could not be collateral damages of a suicide bombing, which is not directly attacking the vaccination site. This has not been the target of these insurgents, but they could be actually hurt because of the proximity of the event.
The African countries will be declared polio-free if no case of polio is detected in the next 3 years. That will bring the goal of global polio eradication very near, as only 5 cases of polio remain in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The athletics world's attention focuses fully on the IAAF World Cross Country Championships Kampala 2017 this weekend. The Ugandan capital will host its first major global sporting event on Sunday, March 26. Hundreds of athletes from 60 nations are expected to take part in the event as Uganda joins the likes of Morocco, South Africa, and neighboring Kenya as the only African nations to have hosted the event. Norman Katende is the local organizing committee director for media and communications. My colleague Douglas Impuga reached him in Kampala to find out the readiness of the city to host this event.
Kampala is very ready to host this event. We've had a number of countries come in: Australia, Canada, USA, Japan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, South Africa, Italy, Spain. So, and they have had no complaints. So we believe Papa is very ready for this event.
We understand at least the team for the refugees was not able to make it. Is that correct?
Yes, we're not able to make it because they failed to get their documentation in Spain and they could not travel out of the country. The refugees have different UN regulations.
Are there any concerns about security in Kampala?
There's no concern about security in Kampala. We've had no complaints about security. You know, one thing I can tell you, that America has the best security when it comes to foreign travels. And we've had no complaint about them. They are very comfortable with it. The athletes are training very well. They travel from the house to the hostel. They just walk in fast. And they're confident about it. As the city officials have told us, this is very good.
This is indeed a very big sporting event. How are the people in Kampala? Are they excited about the event?
Well, the first thing I can tell you is that the people in Kampala don't know about cross country. They know about marathon running and the track and field. Because marathon running, they know about it because, one, it was one of the biggest events in the Africa. That was South Africa taking part in the Kampala Marathon. And two, we have the world and Olympic champion, Stephen Kipchoge. So they have been following marathon. So what they are saying is that we have international people coming up. They can't come for marathon, they can't come for 6 kilometers. They don't know really what cross country is. I think that they're all excited because they know. So many countries are coming in Uganda, they can't compete for a world event. And there are so many international stars who have won medals in Olympics, in World Championships, who are already here in Kampala. I have excitement. They may not be excited about the cross country, but they're excited about the stars that are coming here to run in the event.
There are big names in this event, going to participate in this event. How ready and what hopes do you have for the Ugandan team?
I can assure you that the Ugandan team will be put up a very good performance in both the senior men and senior men individual and team event. And they put up a good performance in the team events. We have Stephen Kipchoge, world and Olympic champion. We have Jason Cheptegei, graduating from the junior, is the world junior championship. have been training so hard. They are younger people who are ready to put up a mark on the Ghanaian map. And after seeing Sydney Cricket winning the world medal, they say we can also make it. And what they can make it in Uganda, where people are seeing them and national anthem is played, not anywhere else but in Uganda.
Norman Katende is the local organizing committee director for media and communications. He spoke with my colleague Douglas Mpuga from Kampala. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And it's time for music from our African collection.
My country people.
Famous. I wanna do you.
you do me. I want to make you be me, sweet nectar, my baby boy. Sweetie, baby, hey. Without you, me love empty. Hold me, baby, hey.
And don't try to, I no answer. I just am more than a cancer. But you don't know me, I don't know you. That's it, the we meet. Nice to know you. Ha. Bring her to the left, bring her to the right. Shake, come up and down for me, baby girl. Come on, cheer up. Come on, let's cheer up. I beg you, wait, yeah, cheer up. Got you finding, cheer up. Baby. Scatala, anyhow we the wakala. Hip hop we don't come pan up. Solo music now we yanda we cha cha ya. Titi shake that you won't do. But you are passing me the bottle. Let we party no grumble. Now we get to make Boku rap a biggie humble. For me, skates na the bar. Scatter money like the great stuff one. The baby medicine name Kabija.
Have a party in baby dando.
Who's party bar?
Chera.
With the cherry.
Chera. to the touch. Obushi, 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 got the neck I want for you. Obushi, 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 anything but the neck I talk and do. I know I'm cock and do. Anything I want, I do. Kabala, kabala, me a ready for chera.
Number one, top class, now we got. Two way smell bad, send three space, now you fat. Two way one, come, kakusa, no music, now you catch. Bend down low, light shortcut. Body look fresh with the white hot pants. You be lady big, man cut that. I go like for take you home, baby, how about that? Cheram, salutes. We know they play like man galutes. Cheram, a look. Baby, then they wear the hoods up, now look. Baby, then go come once every day. Get a party boy once every day. Pop champagne like holiday. We need a mole and bitter cola. Cheer up. Pop, cheer up. Pop, cheer up. Pop, cheer up. Pop, cheer up.
Baby fresh, shut it down. Under one ranking, yeah. What's that? Blaze up the fire, hello, what's that?
Boy, I'm out too sweet, see, I'm falling for you. Baby boy, I'm falling for you. See, I like your style, I'm falling for you. Baby boy, make a wine up for you. Boy, I'm too sweet, see, I'm falling for you. Baby boy, I'm falling for you. See, I like your style, I'm falling for you. Baby boy, make a wine up for you.
I thought you wine on me tonight. I'm on a go. I'm on a democracy. I saw you not gonna sleep tonight. Will you wine at me tonight? Yeah, you not gonna sleep tonight. Know your body feel alright.
You fly, you bad, you a water bomb. These hips don't lie, and I know you want time. And I hear all the G's where they fly around.
Masia na waka. What a missing one. What will you better kiss him? Take a kiss him. Oh, yeah, chop the kiss him. I'm gonna get to go yet. Oh, yeah, take a kiss him. I'm gonna get you to find my baby. Will you better kiss him? I know go lie what I mean, see. In my quanny wembo. I know go lie what I mean, see. My canef wembo. Because you're sweet and tender. And you find past Brenda. Your beauty, they give me fever. I go be your defender. Baby, I really wanna do this tonight. Lady, we can do this all night. Whoa, 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 whoa. O'Malley Chani gave you my love. Baby girl, you go kill it person. Whoa, 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 whoa. My baby too fine, yo. Anytime I see her, I walk up. Baby too sweet, yo. Anytime I see ya, na waka. What a missing one. Mwa walu baby kissing one. Take a kissing one. Oh yeah, chop the kissing one. I'm gonna get to go yet. Oh yeah, take a kissing one. I'm gonna get you to find my baby. Will you baby kiss? Will you kiss? A baby walu baby something, yeah. I make you lock up your lips and now I'm working on time, yeah. I wanna kiss your soul away, hey. Oh dear food, dear song. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a little nigga, boom, man, whoa. Baby girl, you go kill it person, no. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a little nigga, boom, man, whoa. Baby girl, you go kill it personal. Oh, 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 oh. What a missing one. Mwa walu baby kissing one. Take a kissing one. Oh yeah, chop the kissing one. I'm gonna get to go yet. Oh yeah, take a kissing one. I'm gonna get you to find my baby. Will you baby kissing one. What a missing one. Mwa walu baby kissing one. Take a kissing one. Oh yeah, chop the kissing one. I'm gonna get to go yet. Oh yeah, take a kiss, man. I'm gonna get you to find my baby. Will you get a kiss, man?
As you can see, me have go go fresh gone, no crow crow. You got them place, let no man curse. I'm on a true, oh, oh, yeah, ask anybody. Everybody want to shake your body. Cause we are young and we want to dance. I'm on a true, oh, oh, as a young girls, we know they like fight. We just want to have a good time. How about you, oh, oh,
as a young girl.
Some Mio Mio official. Yes, so that's what's up. Got them place, let no man curse. I'm on a true. Show love, show love. Everybody needs somebody. Oh. If you can call, just sing along to. I'm on a true.
G-O-G-O-O-D-O-D-T-R-T-I-M-E-M-E
7 days in a week, oh. Happiness is what
Listen, I want to ask you a question. Who is the best woman in the world? Huh? Your girlfriend? What? Your sister? No, for me, it's my mama, my mother. Say, mama, bless me. Makes me life go better. Say, papa, bless me. Makes me life go better. Make I go post, make I go dengue. Make I no go live for me company where. So that tomorrow, I no go borrow. Hey, mama, bless you, sweet. Say, mama, bless me. Makes me life go better. Say, mama, bless me. Makes me life I go better, make I go pose, and then girl, make I no go live by me cup in the weather, so that tomorrow I no go borrow, huh? Say mama blessing is sweet.
Hey mama, me sweet sweet mama, no one feel like you, no one feel like you, me sweet sweet mama. Like you not quit low, mama. Like you not get what they give me, yo, mama. I appreciate you, know, I love you, mama.
Mama, bless me, yo. May this me life ya go better. Say, papa, bless me, yo. May this me life ya go better. Make I go pose. And then girl, make I no go live for me cup in the weather. So that tomorrow, I no go borrow. Joy. Say, mama, bless me this way. Say, mama, bless me, yo. Listen, may this me life ya go better. Say, papa, bless me, yo. They got like a ganga. May this me life ya go better. Make I go pose. And then girl, make I no go live for me cup in the weather. So that tomorrow, I don't go borrow. Try, say mama blessing is sweet. Break low. Say mama you wanna fuck and kill it down, crack it down, come. I'm dancing. Say for me mama, say baby I go love you, rara. No woman is like you. Nobody is only like you. Say mama I give you the Jackson bridge. Mama you're so wonderful. When nobody's by me, mama you stand by me, oh. When nobody's near me, mama, you give me the courage. When I don't get no money, mama, you the same, make a pressure. So mama, I beg I am. Say mama, bless me, oh. Makes me life I go better. Say papa, bless me, oh. Make this me life I go better. Make I go post, make I go dengue. Make I no go live for me cup in the weather. So that tomorrow, I no go borrow. Hey, mama, bless you this way. Say mama, bless me, oh. Make this me life I go better. Say mama, bless me, oh. Makes me life I go better, make I go pose. And then girl, make I no go live by me cup in the weather. So that tomorrow, I no go borrow. Say mama, okay. Blessing is here.
Mama, who saw you do? Mama, who saw you don't go and left me up? Say I no go forget you. Say I no go forget you.
And that was Music from the Continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sale, reporter Douglas Impuga, producer Odette Frazier, and our engineer for today, Justin Thwaites, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, it is better to have an enemy who will fight you in an open field than a lover who will kill you in your sleep. I'm your host, Peter Clotte in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Venezuela is officially a multi-party constitutional republic. But since the turn of the century, President Hugo Chavez and then his successor, Nicolas Maduro, concentrated power in the executive branch. In 2004, the Chavez-controlled National Assembly conducted a political takeover of the Supreme Court, at which point the judiciary ceased to function as an independent branch of government. As a recently released State Department Human Rights Report shows, with this imbalance of power came a culture of government intimidation, persecution, and criminal prosecution of political rivals and critics. This state of events, as well as a continuing erosion of human rights, persists to this day. The government has expanded and abused its powers to regulate media and has harassed and intimidated independent media and journalists using threats, fines, property seizures, arrests, criminal investigations, and prosecutions. Security forces also detained and interrogated a number of journalists and confiscated their equipment. The government continued to restrict the operations of non-governmental organizations, denying them the ability to accept funds from international sources. The government also cracked down on freedom of speech and of assembly. In 2016, protesters were arrested and prosecuted for participating in peaceful demonstrations. Some of those arrested claimed to have been beaten, tortured, and forced to sign false confessions while in detention. While conducting raids in low-income and immigrant communities, government security forces allegedly committed extrajudicial killings, mass arbitrary detentions, maltreatment of detainees, forced evictions, the destruction of homes, and arbitrary deportations. The Venezuelan government sometimes took steps to punish lower-ranking government officials who committed abuses, but there were few investigations or prosecutions of senior government officials. Impunity remained a serious concern in the security forces. Other concerns include poor prison conditions, rampant corruption at every level of government, and continuous harassment of human rights defenders. There were also numerous reports of violence against women, employment discrimination based on political preference, and restriction on workers' right of association. The United States urges the Venezuelan government to comply with its constitution. President Maduro should permit the democratically elected National Assembly to perform its constitutional functions and should hold elections as soon as possible. The United States also calls for the immediate release of political prisoners in Venezuela, including Leopoldo López. Promoting human rights and democratic governance is a core element of U.S. foreign policy, said U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. The Human Rights Report demonstrates the United States' unwavering commitment to advancing liberty, human dignity, and global prosperity around the world, including in Venezuela.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.